Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Apostle, your messenger for the hour. Well, it's not quite an hour. Your messenger's for 45 minutes. And we are from the now Sabbath Gathering Ministry. Again, this is Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and today we will have a brief discussion. Well, I call it discussion, but it's applied ministry is what we have. And whenever we take a look at what that means, applied, what are we applying? We're applying the Word of God to the decisions that we see people make. We're applying the Word of God to our situation and circumstances. We're applying the Word of God to that which we see on the television, and that's what we hear over the radio. And now, let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we thank you. We give you thanks and we give you praise for the way your Spirit showed out this week, the way that you manifested yourself in the election process in America, the way that you showed us who is in charge, who is the Creator, and who is not. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one thing I like to start out with is those of us who pray. There's a group that prays on Wednesday night. There's a group that prays on Wednesday morning. There's a group that prays on Thursday noon. There's a group that prays on Monday and again on Friday. And there is a group that prays on Tuesday. And whenever and on Thursday as well. But what we see is the manifestation of prayer, of how the Word of God has manifested itself. And I just look at it as a tension between the big lie and liars and the truth and those of us who are the believers. And we see that our prayers, based on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, where the Creator said that we should pray for all men, all people. We pray for them. And then it tells us that we pray for people in authority, the kings, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we do. And that's what we did. And we did not pray for them in terms of them doing evil. We prayed that God would touch their hearts and touch their spirit, and they would do make the decision based on what God's word said. And that was what we saw being played out on Tuesday, Wednesday, when the results came in. And those where the results are still out there, where they're saying too close to call. We saw how the pundits, we saw how all of those sit there and based on his story, said that there would be a red wave, because normally, whatever administration that's in power, in the midterm election, they would take a shellacking. Well, that didn't happen this time. And what do we credit that to? I credit it to, when I line up what took place before the election with the Word of God, I found that it was not glorifying God, it was glorifying Satan. We had election deniers, people denied that the person that won the election in 2020, they denied that he won. And everything pointed that he had won the election. And he was granted the position. And now, whenever we see what people said, the big lie, they still lie. They said that even if they lost, they were going to say that they won. So now, if we apply the word to that, we come out with what? We come out with the father of lies is Satan, of the devil. So, whenever we look at, now let's peel the onion back a little bit more, we see then if that was, they were doing the work of the devil, then who were they coming against? They would come against the children who, God's children, who stood on his word and proclaimed that which he said to be true. So we see a big conflict between the truth and the lie, or between the good and the evil. And as we continue down that path, what do we see? We see God's victory. And we just thank God for the way that he showed. If we were on the corner, we would say the way he showed out. But when the building, where the body of Christ together, we see the signs and wonders, and we talk about it through spiritual lens, the spiritual eyes. And we talk about those of us who walk by faith and not by sight, who did not agree with those who said that there was going to be a victory for the enemy. And we call the enemy those who won, who were going against the word of God. And we say, well, how do they do that? How do we know that? By what came out of their mouth and how they lied. And we who are believers, we who say we are chosen, called by God and chosen to proclaim his word, we must stand up and speak truth. And the truth is, there ain't no point in us whitewashing, as we call it, a lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. And according to the word, the devil is the father of lies. And the devil is in conflict with God. What did he do? He was in heaven. He was Lucifer. He was the fair-haired angel, as I call him. He was the one that God had set apart from all the rest. And he started a resurrection. What did I just say? What happened here on earth? The resurrection on January 6th. The devil says he started one in heaven. the resurrection. He was going to take the authority from God, and he had to find who had the power. That God had the power, and along with those who followed him, he cast them out. Cast them out of heaven. And we just have to think. Don't allow other people to think for you. Read the word for yourself. And once you read it for yourself, then you come into revelation knowledge as to who, what, when, and where. Again, back to Tuesday, I just saw how God will prevail. And his will prevailed in the fact that people who have been praying, people who have been interceding, people who have been praying prayers of thanksgiving, and people who have been praising God and asking God and inviting God into the election process, electoral process, we see how God has brought justice to victory. And we know that some people may get in, that they're not slipping through the cracks now. For whatever reason, God allowed them in. Maybe their heart is not as hard as they will want people to believe. Because see, whenever you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we pray for leaders, and it tells us why. So that we may have a quiet, peaceful, godly existence. Think about it. If we hadn't have been praying, and those election deceivers would have gotten into power, we would have had the revolution that they were planning. And the revolution meant what? The minorities in the country would all have been either round up and placed in concentration camps, or they would all have been shot. We just thank you and praise you, Almighty God, for you. For you. You did not lie. Your word was true. Your word provides. And you said, we believe whatever we ask, believing and not doubting, and it would come to pass. And that's what we did. We did not wait around for the court, Supreme Court, they are in lockstep, with the big lie and the liar. And we're even that, whenever we go and look at the word, we cannot find conservative in your word, in your vocabulary anywhere. In God's vocabulary, it's not there. As reflected, his vocabulary is reflected in the book that they run around hooping and hollering and screaming about being the word of God, the Bible. It's amazing. It's really amazing how things turn out. They were predicting a red wave. And now what we see now in terms of those who was hooping and hollering about a red wave, that they are sweating bullets, as they say, because what they are, they might not even gain control of the House. They might not even gain control of the Senate. Think about it. Who could have done what we just witnessed? Whenever they, the party, and the party that was in charge. They gerrymandered. They rewrote the voting district so that they could remain in power. That backfired on them as well. They are not in power like they thought they would be empowered. I just see the hand of God in all of this. And also, you hear them talking about God. Then you begin to ask the question, who is their God? Who is the God that they serve? Because there's a conflict between the God that they serve and the God I serve. The God I serve holds me to a level of accountability, whereas the God they serve empowers them to do evil. The God I serve disciplines me for doing evil. There's a conflict there. There's tension. And even whenever you look at the word, again, what does Jesus say? He said, he didn't come to bring peace, but the sword. And it's very clear, though there will be people who believe him, and there are going to be people who believe the world. Well, whenever you see what just happened, and even those days and months coming up to last Tuesday, we see what? We see a battle again. We see people following the world. Not only the politicians, we see those who profess to be believers. They have turned from their first love. They are following false prophets, false teachers. It's all being played out, which you read in the book. And I'm just sitting here meditating and reflecting now. Now, I'm not rejoicing. Why? Because Jesus admonished those disciples who came back talking about how the enemy, they were able to cast out demons and evil spirits and all of that. He told them, you don't rejoice in that. I'm not rejoicing in the fact that there was no red wave. I'm not rejoicing in the fact that election deniers lost. I'm not gloating in the fact that the big lie is that God is holding the big liar accountable for the big lie. I am rejoicing, as Jesus said, you rejoice the fact that your name is written in heaven, or written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm no prophet. I'm just a messenger. And when you walk by faith, not by sight, you're able to see what's happening through different lens. You're able to look at the signs, interpret the signs of the time, and you're able to have an honest conversation with the Creator, the one that created those individuals that are following the big liar and those who are speaking the big lie. And this is one of the things that this ministry started out because of. And we are now seeing the big lie and the big liar. You see, justice is, I'm not talking about man-type justice either. Because the first thing he's going to say is, you don't believe that he's going to be held accountable. I'm not interested in what man is going to do to other men. I'm interested in speaking what the word says about what we do and who's going to hold us accountable. Book of Micah. God told the people Israelites through the prophet that he only asked them to do three things. Be just. Not just justice is like you go to court, but in every decision you make, every act, everything you do, be just. Show mercy and humbly with the Creator. That's all he asks. And whenever I look at what took place before, they were behaving the way the Israelites, similar to the way the Israelites were behaving. And all I saw was God doing what he told them that they should be doing. Being just, he's bringing justice and victory on behalf of us who have been treated unjustly. He's bringing justice on behalf of those who were gerrymandered out voting. He let it be known that no matter what you do, he has the final say. And he showed mercy because mercy was shown when we cried out to him. We cried out to him and invited him in to this election process. We invited him to send the Holy Spirit to those individuals who were in the voting booth and quicken their heart, not their biological heart, not their natural heart, but their spiritual heart, where he has written his word in, that they will make the decision and vote for the people that they felt that would make decisions based on God's word. And those individuals who were there, we still ask that their hearts be softened, so that they will repent, and they will begin to respond to the way that, in a way that will be pleasing and glorifying God the Creator, not God the idol. Again, I stated, I had a question as to whether or not God, well, I'm just going to put it bluntly. There's two gods. There's a God for those, and there's a God for people who are believers. And there's a God that holds people accountable for their behavior and their actions. And that's the God that I serve. That's the God that I speak about on this station, on this ministry. And the God of those other people who are telling a lie, who try to get us to believe the lie is the truth and the truth is the lie, their God is not the one that created them. Their God is not the one that created the heavens and the earth. Their God is the idol. Their God is one, he said. The book clearly says that Satan is the father of lies. And if Satan is the father of lies, then evidently they're following Satan. And then we keep looking at the God of their understanding as one that allows them and empowers them to do evil to other people. All you have to do is just look at it historically. historically, and they tell us that we are all created equal. Again, all I'm doing is pointing out the big lies. See, the people want to say that the big lie started with Donald Trump. That's another lie. It didn't. It started in a garden when Satan caused Adam and Eve to do what they did. And now we see, what do we see? We see that played out over and over and over. We see it in what we used to call the little boy, the little white lie. Well, all I'm doing, I thought, told us a little white lie. And that's the difference between a white lie and a black lie. Black lie is bad. White lie, good. What was that doing? That was setting up within our mind right there a dichotomy that was in conflict, being in conflict later in terms of trying to get us to identify who we are and what we are. So, but back to the God of our understanding, and I stand on my point, on my two gods. You got the real God and you got the idol. And the real God holds us accountable, the God of the book. Now, sometimes I have to question some of the interpreters and translators the way they chose some of the words that they chose. Like the big one is ghost. And they run around talking about Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost. Ghost busts up in there. Everybody breaks their neck trying to get out of there. But how did that get in the book? It got in the book because of the translators. During the time that they were translating, they made a statement. You can Google this and you'll see it. They made a statement that there's no difference between spirit and a ghost. Spirit and a ghost. They have basically the same definition. Therefore, so it was okay. They felt it was okay to put down ghosts. Well, how can a ghost, when you read the Webster definition, a ghost is a dead person walking. How in the world can a ghost? Oh, maybe that's why their God allowed them to do whatever they want to do. Because their God is not real. If they put their faith in a ghost, a holy, and made that ghost holy. Whereas when you look at minorities, minorities speak in terms of spirits. Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you hear it in the church building, the Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost. But whenever they would get outside away, they understood that they were worshiping a spirit. When you go back to Genesis, and what do you see? You see God breathed the breath of life into us. And what was the breath? The Hebrew word means spirit, wind, and breath. That one word has those three different meanings. It doesn't say ghost. I want people to think about what it is that they're saying, what it is that they were taught, because that helps you whenever you get the situations like we're dealing with now. You're able to discern which God is. Now, we have the next 15 minutes, because normally it's 30 minutes message and 15 minutes of discussion. If there's anybody to have a discussion, I think I see today we have one person. I'm going to open the mic and see if they have a question or comment or statement. Good evening. And I'd like to know if you have a question or comment. Our format is 30 minutes message and 15 minutes question and answer or comment. Right. Well, if there's no question or comment, we will say shalom. Shalom. Until next week, and we'll continue this discussion based on what the current event and how we apply by the word as written, not as interpreted. And, yeah, you notice that I don't quote scriptures and all of that, but we apply that word, the word that's in us. What is in you is what comes out. Now, you can go to Luke 10, 18, 19, and 20, and that tells you whether true that we have been delegated authority over demons, scorpions, serpents, power over the enemy. And also in that, it tells you how Jesus told the disciples, don't come back rejoicing that you saw that you were able to do all of these things you said you did, because he said that he saw Satan fall like a light from heaven. And he told us in verse 20, which most of us don't look at. Verse 20 says that we rejoice in the fact that our name is written in heaven. And the other scripture that I mentioned was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And verse 1 tells us about the different way of praying. And 2 says that we should pray for those in authority. And it didn't say that we pray for them to keep doing what they're doing if they're not doing things that line up with the Word of God. Because it says that we pray for them so that we can live a quiet, peaceful, godly, reverent life. And again, God wants us praying for them. He doesn't want any soul to be lost. That was the two major scriptures that I referred to. Well, of course, Genesis, but Genesis is about the beginning. Genesis, the first two, three chapters, read them and you get an understanding of what's going on, that battle between, I hate to say good and evil, but the battle between the devil and the Creator. And we should not be worshiping that which was created. And that would be the devil and his little group and human beings. Why would we worship them, or why would we make them God, whenever the Creator holds them in his hand, as we used to sing that little song as a kid, the whole world, God got the whole world in his hand. So, at any point in time, God could take that spirit out of those individuals and those beings, and they would no longer be in existence. I just thank you again for listening. I thank you, and I trust and pray that something was said challenged you to go further by reading the word for yourself and not relying on someone's interpretation. And that's what I had to do in order for me to grow spiritually. Shalom.